Okay? Can I ask everyone to please stand for a moment of quiet contemplation? Please be seated. Confirmation of the minutes of the meeting of the 25th of February. Does anyone have any corrections or clarifications? Councillor Passos?
Yes, this is page 12. It's all over the place. I moved motions and amendments and I wasn't here.
So you were the mover of an amendment on Clissold Street, is that right?
But it's the whole page. It's got that. It has me absent everywhere, yet I moved amendments.
You moved amendments, but then you didn't return to the chamber in time to actually vote on them.
On all of it?
Yeah, you missed the item.
Fine,
so
that's
we left
right.
You as the mover, but you weren't in the chamber to be recorded. That's right, isn't it?
Okay, God, you've got good memories. Okay.
Councillor Hesse, are you moving adoption of the minutes? Is there a seconder? Councillor Stamoulis will second that. All those in favour?
Mr. Mayor, I sought advice on the disallowing of the motion.
Yes.
To remove the new logo and go back revert back to the old one.
Yeah.
And the advice that I received is you had the discretion on the evening either to have that motion voted upon or to seek another course. So I'm curious as to what the process might be forward from here on that. Can we simply resubmit a notice of motion?
No, you need to submit a rescission motion.
Why would that be?
Well, I put that question to Mr. Naylor, who advised me on the process, which I would have thought we were all aware of.
Through the chair, council adopted to go forward with the option in the paper of a logo, and the logo's already been implemented. So in order to rescind, to go back to something that currently doesn't exist, we would need to rescind the decision that went to a new logo, and then you could re-debate that item.
Now, Mr. Mayor, that's precisely the information that I've heard is debatable.
Well, that's fine, but you've got the advice from the expert at council. Made the decision. You didn't move a motion of dissent, and we're now up to adopting the minutes 2 weeks later.
What I would hope, Mr. Mayor, is that we could seek clarification on whether or not you can move forward.
You're welcome to, but the process has been dealt with. It's not my responsibility to go and find alternate facts for you. So we've got Councillor Hesse moving the adoption of the minutes. Councillor Passos?
Well, I have to agree with Councillor Stamoulis, Mayor. I believe that every single councillor on this council expected, because if you have a look at the resolution and what happened after that, we all expected to come back to council. We expected a report from the panel.
I'm sorry, Councillor Passos, I certainly can't allow an additional political speech about an item that's not even on the agenda tonight.
It's not a political speech, it's what Councillor Stamoulis.
Well, no, I'm sorry, we're up to adopting the minutes, so either you have an amendment to the minutes or you don't.
Well, this is to do with the minutes.
No, you're not seeking to amend them. They're an accurate reflection of what was of what occurred at the meeting.
Okay. I'll be voting against the adoption of the minutes.
Okay, that's fine. Is there a seconder for adopting the minutes?
Yeah,
seconded by Councillor York. All those in favour? Against? Declare that carried.
I'm against.
Councillor Passos was against the minutes. Public forum, there are no registered speakers. There are no condolence motions. There is one mayoral minute that has been tabled tonight, councillors. It's just noting that in collaboration with our multicultural committee, a group of other Inner West ethnic community organisations will be holding a rally on the 21st of March to mark the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Council officers have been collaborating with those agencies. I was informed about it externally and thought it sounded like a terrific idea and something that we should indicate our support for. There is no financial contribution from the council. It's being organised independently. So I'll move that council recognises the 21st of March as the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination and commits to observing it annually, supports the Inner West March and Festival for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination and encourages Inner West residents to attend, and supports calls for a new federally funded national anti-racism campaign. So I will move that way. Councillors, discussion? Councillor Passos.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Mayor, this is purely political because in all my years now in the Inner West, I haven't come across discrimination. And may I also point out that you made no comment about the councillor's phone ringing just now, but you did when mine rang. You had something to say when my phone rang.
Only about 1 in 10 times that it rings that I say something.
I just thought I'd point that out.
Okay, thank you.
Is council involved in this any way at all?
Would you like me to pose that as a question to the officers?
Yeah, well, you said it was just brought to your attention.
Yeah.
Is any of our committees or our council involved in this?
I'll put that question to the officers.
Not that I'm aware, councillor.
So it has nothing to do with this council at all?
I believe that there are members of the Multicultural Advisory Committee of Council who are organisers of the rally, yes.
Well, don't you think, Mr Mayor, it would have been a good idea for it to come to us as maybe a report or a recommendation that if we wanted to have some input in or whatever? I feel that these mayoral minutes that you put up are completely leaving councillors out of every single thing that happens in this LGA. We are the elected representatives, and I find it very disrespectful on how we're treated. We are supporting this, okay, you said there's no financial implications, but this has become a pattern, as with the logo. The elected representatives have no say whatsoever what goes on in the area that they're representing, and I think it's unacceptable. I think whether you think you're going to hear a lot of rot or you have no respect for anyone else's opinion, at least you should be seen to be going through the motions that you do respect the 14 elected representatives, and this council should do the same.
Councillor Hesse.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for bringing this to the council. I'm more than pleased to support it and to recognise the role of the Addison Road Community Centre, who've organised this, and residents, including those involved on the relevant committee, who have taken part in organising it. I think this is a really good initiative by the Addison Road Community Centre and those people around them. And I would encourage not only all councillors to participate, but to motivate the network to participate. Clearly, we live in very uncomfortable times. There is a rise, both in Australia and globally, of discrimination based on race and indeed religion as well, and other things. And I think it is a very important thing for us to stand with those who are on the receiving end of racism.
Yes,
and to demand, indeed, I guess, to challenge our better selves to be a better community. So thank you again, and I fully support this initiative.
Thank you for that. Further discussion, councillors? Councillor De Cruz.
Well, I'm pleased to say that the event is actually listed in our online calendar, which is the point I was going to have ask you to include in your mayoral minute. I might also say that the event is organised by the Inner West Multicultural Network, which represents 120 civil society organisations who have come together in the belief that we must challenge harmful forces that are growing in our society. We believe that a unified and diverse community speaking up and taking action shows the best way forward at this critical time. The march festival begins at Enmore Park at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 21st, and the crowd will march along Addison Road with flags and banners, percussion and music. And it goes on to describe the event. So I just like that noted.
Thank you for that. Councillor McKenna.
Thank you very much, Mr Mayor, for bringing this forward. It is an excellent mayoral minute. And Just for the information of other councillors, the committee, the Multicultural Committee, the minutes are available and for all councillors to read at their leisure. So there's certainly no secrecy in any of this. Thank you.
Sorry, could I move a slight amendment?
What are you suggesting?
Well, their actual slogan for the day is no harmony in racism, so that can be noted in your minute.
I don't think that's particularly necessary, so I won't incorporate that amendment.
It's all right, that's their slogan.
Okay, is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, I'll just make a very brief right of reply. I note that this evening's meeting is being held on the 10th of March. The next council meeting scheduled after tonight is on the 24th of March. This event takes place on the 21st of March. After being informed by a community member that the event was taking place, this is the first opportunity that I've had to table consideration of it at council, and I thought that councillors would like to know that it was on for those who hadn't already been informed. And I hope and expect to see lots of our councillors there on the day. It'll be the most important event in the Inner West on the 21st of March. I'll put that. All those in favour? All those against? That has been carried. Next item. Amendment to Leichhardt Development Control Plan, item one. Councillor McKenna.
Could I, goodness gracious, you're too quick for me, move the recommendation as printed in the business papers? I mean, this is just to go on exhibition, and I just note that I think all of us received an email late this afternoon, which I certainly haven't had time to read, but I will look for an amendment that just asks that the council officers review those comments for when it comes back for adoption.
Thank you for that. Is there a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor York. Do you wish to speak to it? No? Councillor Hesse, then Councillor Passos, then Councillor Porteous.
Very briefly, the letter, of course, that Councillor McKenna refers to was received, I think it was sent, according to my email at 5:27 this afternoon. I think it's a useful contribution, and if Councillor McKenna and Councillor York are happy to add that, as Councillor McKenna says, that it be read with that and used as useful comment. I think it's informative, without, I think, showing us a way forward necessarily, other than what's recommended. So I think that nonetheless, it's a useful part of the discussion, as I think it highlights that for at least one car share organisation, that this existing clause has been very useful in promoting car share and reducing the number of cars in our local government area, therefore making it better for everyone, better for those people who have to have a car, and better for those people who don't want one. So everyone's a winner. I think we've got to make sure that that whatever we replace this clause with, that we don't check out the baby with the bathwater, as it were. So I hope that with that caveat, we can go on with this. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor Passos.
With any commercial entity, if I could have an explanation on this, I just can't see this working. That it's just like council telling people that you have to have DeLonghi products in your kitchen. You're not allowed to use any other firm.
Put that question to the officers.
The legality of this needs to be checked on.
I'll put that question to the officers.
Through the Chair, Councillors, the amendment that you've got before you seeks to delete a requirement that one car space be provided in lieu of five car parking spaces. It, to Councillor Pass's point, it doesn't necessarily attribute that to any one particular company or commercial arrangement. It would be nominated as car share rather than any particular provider.
But have we had legal advice on that, that any provider that we can make provisions or recommendations that any private entity, car share company, would be a condition of consent?
I'll put that question to the officers.
Again, the amendment is seeking to delete the current requirement of the Leichhardt DCP, and the report was prepared by Council's General Counsel.
Yeah, I understand that. We had no legal advice on it for it to be deleted.
Well, I think the question's been answered. Councillor Porteous.
Yeah, look, I did receive the letter late, like everybody else, but I did read it. And look, I think it's actually making a really valid point that there is, for example, a clause in the City of Sydney a DCP which does enable the car share spaces to go ahead without it impacting on replacing regular car spaces, which is essentially what the council staff are trying to achieve. They want to make sure that this is not a get-out clause for developers, so that instead of putting in car spaces for residents which are required, they're putting in a car share space and therefore putting in a lot less spaces than you would need for that size of development. And obviously that is a problem, because that was never the initial intention of this clause when it was put into the Leichhardt development control plan. But I do think there's value in car share. It is the way forward. A lot of people, particularly in the Inner West, are embracing car share and choosing either to have one less car in a family unit or no car at all quite often as well, and to use car share. So I don't want to lose what was good about this, and I would suggest that we could ask the staff to develop a replacement clause which we bring to council. We can still remove this tonight, but ask that a replacement clause be brought to council, which would ensure there's a dedicated car share spaces provided in large residential and commercial developments without the current situation where they're replacing the regular car spaces with the car share spaces. So I would like to move that as an amendment. So that the proposal there would be that we'd still adopt this tonight, but that a future meeting we'd have that come back with a proposal for a clause that would still enable the car share to go forward without it being there as it is currently, replacing regular car spaces.
I'll put that question to... You're amenable to that.
I don't know that I can support the residential component, because modern buildings are all... what is a large residential building? We'd have to define that. And also, car share needs to be in a public place. So commercial, of course, we've all been doing that for years, I think, putting them into commercial premises, in commercial developments. But I don't... It's something that maybe needs to be considered, but I don't think there's any chance of putting it into private.
Councillor York?
Can I just clarify, we're not removing anything tonight. We're, as far as I understand, and as far as the recommendation says, we're just putting on exhibition a proposed amendment, and there would be nothing stopping any councillor or, in fact, any resident seeking advice on potential alternatives in the meantime before we consider this again.
That's true.
Is that correct?
Yes. So that's a no.
Put it on exhibition then?
Yep.
So can I just get a clarification as well on that? So my understanding that we are removing C. We're putting on exhibition to remove clause 25C, yeah?
Yes.
Which is the so that's going out on exhibition and then it comes back to council.
It's not being adopted.
It's not being adopted. Okay. All right. So I'm happy to withdraw my proposed amendments.
Any further comments? If not, I'll go to Councillor McKenna for a right of reply. Unnecessary. I'll put that. All those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Councillors, I'm just going to seek some leeway to move the four contractual items from Committee of the Whole, confidential session. So items 7, 8, 9 and 10. Does anyone need to discuss any of those?
I wanted some more information about the IT, the internet one.
So we could move items 7 and 10 on bulk? So I haven't actually moved that we go into committee of the whole yet, I suppose.
I mean, I'd be voting against 10. I'd be voting against 10. So it wouldn't be... You'd have to put it to a separate...
I'll move that we move into committee of the whole, into...
Point of order. It's just we've only got a very small agenda. Is there any problem with us dealing with the items as they appear on the...
The officers have just asked that we bring them forward.
Oh, OK. There's nobody in the... there's no public that we've sent out of the room.
I move that we move into confidential session, seconded by Councillor McKenna. All those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. I'll just ask the officers to make sure that the chamber has been cleared. Could you put your microphone on, please, Councillor?
Yes, that's right. Mr. Mayor, fellow councillors, in June of 2018, we adopted $1.5 million in terms of contracts coming back to us, and you'll see we've seen a couple of reports tonight that conform with that. But I think it's always important at some stage to review whether we've got the right number in light of information that we have, in light of our meetings, how many reports we're getting, what we want to see, what we don't want to see. And so this rescission motion is a chance to review that and make some decisions and have a debate about whether $1.5 million is the level. Or whether lower, I'm suggesting lower. Also, it's not just a matter of reviewing the dollar limit. 1.5 is a number. The other important thing we want to review is what are the things we're not seeing? Are they important contracts that we would like to know more about, understand and talk about? So it's not just the number, it's the content. And it's a shame when they said that around about 20 further reports would come to us, which was good information, and I thank you for that. We didn't know what they were because that would colour in the detail so that we might say, wow, we actually do want to see those sorts of reports and those sorts of issues come back to us. So, again, that's the second part of the debate. The third part of the discussion for me was how much work would this be? Would it be a very significant impost on council and councillors? And with about 20 reports and we have about 22 meetings, it now appears to me that's a very, very light load. And our council staff, we know, have very good comprehensive reports. So it's not a matter of writing a report. It's a cut and paste into a document and putting a bit of fluff around it for us. And then we get the chance to discuss in detail what those contracts are. So it's very, very important. I'm suggesting to you then, to councillors, that $1.5 million is probably too high given the numbers that come through to us. We need to drop that to a level so that not only do we get more contract... Now, 20 is very low. I would say that I'm glad that it was only 20, in fact, because... that shows it's a very small number, so there must be hundreds of contracts under 0.5 million, and I'm not intending to go there. But it will give us two things. Number one, it will give us greater oversight. It will allow us... We can always readjust that bar further down the track too, councillors, so we're not fixed there forever. I'm just saying, given it's 20, probably up to 30, we could probably live with that, and we could understand what the content of those are. There are issues that us as councillors might want to know about, see and discuss. So I'm opening up that up to you for debate and discussion, fellow councillors.
Okay, thank you for that. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I second it.
Seconded by Councillor Passos. Do you wish to speak to it?
Yes, I do. Councillor Stamoulis, I voted in June 18 for the 1.5, but a lot of problems have arisen since then. And a lot of things have come out that we weren't aware of. And I think this motion, you're to be commended for putting this up, because another role of councillors is to keep an eye on what's going on. And if we have made decisions previously in all good faith, and are they working those decisions? And if there seems to be a few problems, we need to go back and revisit. We can't just sit on one thing and think everything's fantastic. We need to go back. So that's why I'm supporting this motion. Again, we are a very, very large council, and there's not too many contracts that would be less than that. So, as I say, I support this motion at this time. The new council in a couple of months, I don't know what they're going to decide to do, but I think we need to look at this because there's too many problems. And these problems that are coming out, everything to do with this council, we're reading in the press. We're getting no reports in council on are there problems, what is happening. Councillors, we'd just like to inform you we have a problem here. This is the what way we're going about trying to rectify this problem. Nothing like that ever comes to us. We read about it in the press and we get a five-liner saying now everything's hunky-dory. We've rectified what we did wrong. Well, really, I would like us to know if there's been problems before the press do. Thank you.
Yeah, look, I'm pleased to see Councillor Stamos has brought this back to council. I mean, this is something that I think is really important. You will remember when we looked at delegations, it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, which was something I originally brought to council myself and was calling for a lower level of delegations. I mean, yes, there's going to be some more items that are going to have to come to council, but that's actually our job. That's what we've been elected for. This is the sort of things that we're supposed to have oversight of. The reality is that we don't have oversight at the moment. We don't have the opportunity to make determinations as to whether something should or shouldn't be approved as a tender. I think it's absolutely critical that this is the way we're spending our money as a council. If we don't have oversight over these sort of decisions, then I don't think we are doing our job. And in fact, we are liable as well, and we are directly accountable back to the community for these. This is not something which the staff have the accountability for. This is actually us as an elected body that has that responsibility. We need to be the ones making the decisions. So I think this is a very positive move. I hope that councillors will see that a little bit of extra work is actually really worthwhile and that we really need to be adopting this tonight and getting these delegations down to a much more reasonable level where we've got more oversight over more decisions that are critical financial decisions and service decisions which impact on our local community.
Thank you for that. Any further discussion, councillors? Councillor McKenna.
I can't support this motion. This is something that we did decide in 2018. At that time, we also asked for a report, a report to be brought to us on a regular basis about the contracts that and the value of them, which we get regularly. We are a large council. Large councils have delegations well beyond 1.5 million, and to bring it down to 0.5 of a million, even if it only turns out to be 20 to 30. So I thought I read 34 here somewhere. I can't, I think in maybe it was in the last year, there were 34 in the back. Anyway, even another 25 to 30 is almost two for every meeting. That's an extra two reports that need to be written. If there's any reason for concern, I don't... I don't get the reasoning as to what the problem is or why we would need to change something that is working and has been working well for the last year and a half.
Thank you for that. There's no further... Councillor Lockie.
Just some questions through the Chair, if I may.
Yep.
I'm aware that the City of Sydney has a delegation of $5 million. Do the officers have any information about how other councils in our area, where their delegations are set?
I'll put that question to the Chief Executive.
I think this is about the average position, the 1.5 million for most councils. Others, as you indicate, are higher. State and federal government have different arrangements again, which often to limit the funds available, which is a much higher level again.
Point of order. Look, with a lot of respect for the general manager, but I did do a lot of research on that when we had the delegation item come up originally, and there is a complete range from 150,000 upwards.
Well, that's not a point upwards. Of order, Councillor. That's
well, but the correct answer is, in fact, that the delegation started 150,000.
Well, Councillor, when
and,
you're the...
And it's when, quite
when
an
you're
anomaly.
Employed as one of the officers of the Council, you'll be able to state what the advice
is. I just think it's important that the right information is being provided, and I did do the research. And
I'm sorry,
it's quite
Councillor,
an anomaly.
You haven't referred to any
Sydney.
Component
not,
of the Code of Meeting Practice.
A lot of them are a lot lower.
Councillor, I'll adjourn the meeting if you can't discontinue. Councillor Lockie has the floor.
My concern is that if, you know, 1.5 million seems quite high, but at the same time, 500,000, even though it's only 20 to 30 extra reports a year, that's, we don't get through the business in this room as it is. That's my concern. And I do believe we need the oversight of those contracts. So can I just clarify how frequently are those reports that come to us of contracts approved under delegations, how frequently are they coming into our papers at the moment?
I'll put that question to the Chief Executive.
On a quarterly basis at this stage, Councillor.
I thought that was the case. I guess if it wasn't quite as low as 500,000, I would consider it, but I would be very concerned. I think if we had no oversight whatsoever, that would be an enormous problem, but we are getting those reports, we are getting the opportunity to put questions about anything that is a cause for concern, to seek further information on any of those contracts that are causing us concern. It's not like we're not getting that oversight at all whatsoever. I don't think I can support this notice of motion to rescind. Sorry, John.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor York?
Yeah, I'd just add to the sentiment that I would strongly take issue with the idea that we're not doing our job if we don't receive a report from the staff that includes every contract of that value and above. That it's just factually incorrect. There are plenty of other fora that this council runs where we can seek to correct or investigate or understand or probe the staff's acquittal of contracts, and they include ARIC and the CEO performance panel. And to my knowledge, this issue hasn't been raised at either of those at any point recently. So I'd suggest that this isn't a matter of substance, it's a matter of something else. And if there were genuine concerns on this council about this issue, they'd be being raised in those other fora, which they're not. I'm not sure a single word that I've just added has been heard by the mover of the rescission motion.
He's been talking the whole time.
I can see that you're looking at me, John, but I can also see that you're having a different conversation. But I'll leave the point at that. I do not think that this is a genuine attempt at seeking greater oversight, because if it were, we would have seen these discussions raised in other fora, which they just certainly haven't been any time recently, to my knowledge.
Councillor Stamlis, your right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I said, you know, this is an opportunity for us. You know, certainly City of Sydney used 5 million. If we use 5 million, we get nothing virtually coming to us at all. Councils like Hunters Hill, of course, would have a lot smaller contracts than us. They're a very small council, so it's hard to sort of get an average. You know, across Sydney, we're different to many other councils. But this is our opportunity, I think, during this particular time, especially as a merged council, when we're in the process of doing many, many new things, venturing into new territory, new contracts, new suppliers and providers, that I thought councillors may have been interested in seeing more of what's going on in terms of financial oversight. Currently, I think, as I say, the bar is too high. And I'm very pleased that the additional workload would be small, that is 20 to 30 contracts over 22 meetings, I would see as a very, very small increase, so that you would know it's not just numbers, it's not 1.5 million, it's not 20 to 30, it's seeing what those contracts are. That's right. It's not just knowing the number is 1.5.
Councillor Passos, your point of order.
The point of order, stop the conversation.
Thanks for that. Councillor Stamoulos?
The issue is not, is 1.5 the number? Is the increase 20 to 30 big? That is not the issue. What we do is get to see a lot of things. Sometimes it might be a contract that's gone from one place to another. Sometimes we might get to assess policies in terms of solar. So they may not be coming to us. They might be important to some councillors around this table. Sometimes it may be changes to the fleet of our cars moving to electric vehicles. We may want to see what's going on, how that's done, and these may not be $1.5 million. So there's a whole range of things of special interest to councillors that you have the opportunity for a small adjustment of 20 to 30 new reports to see what they are. And then, of course, if councillors say, after testing that for 12 months or whatever, we can then change it back to 1.5 million. We can move it up to 2 or 3 million. But what I'm saying is you have the chance to have that greater financial oversight, to see some of the things that are happening during the merger process, and then to make a decision later to say, well, you know what, let's move it back to 1.5 million if you want to. Thank you.
I'll move the question before.
Well, we've just had the right of reply. I'll put the Stamoulos Passos motion. All those in favour, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That has been defeated. Next item. Item 3, Councillor De Cruz, transition of council's fleet. I'm certainly happy to second it.
Thank you. It's worth noting, and that's what the graphs tell you about, that Australia's emissions from transport are rising while emissions from all other sources are dropping. So I think it's really important that council actually seriously looks at our own emissions. I don't believe we've had any reports on what our current emissions are. The reports that came to council with the strategy had quite dated information, and our community is very keen for us to transition to electric vehicles. I've visited like our depot where electric buses are being trialled, and it's difficult for the people to contain their excitement that it's not only cheaper in operational costs compared to diesel, there's also significant reduction costs in maintenance. So those buses are currently being trialled on a run from Rozelle through Leichhardt all the way to Bondi Junction. I had the excitement of getting on one of those buses yesterday and many other times. So I know not everybody else is a public transport junkie like me, but and council itself doesn't have much to do with electric buses, but we do have several vehicles which we could look at transitioning to electric vehicles, and our community is asking us to do this. So I ask for your support on this motion.
Okay, I'm happy to be the seconder. I assume there's no one in opposition. I'll put that, all those in favour. Councillor
Macri. Chair, I just want to say something about the ability of council by transitioning to an electric fleet, what the impact that will have.
Well,
I think it's a great symbolic thing. I'd say, but we're not even 1% of the motor vehicles in the inner west. So the operation, and a lot does rely on the people, on the end users of anything, of any change, on electricity users, all sorts of things. What I'd like the mover to accept is a couple of motions, amendments, or not amendments to her motion. One, that the council writes to the federal government to ask them to relax the luxury tax on electric motor vehicles, because the average price bottom line Tesla still costs about $75,000 and is captured in that. And we've got to try and make people change their habits and change to electric vehicles. There's no motor vehicle industry to protect. In Italy, and then write to the state government, ask them for a period of 5 years that electric vehicles do not get charged any registration to encourage people to purchase them. And at a council level, that, and this happens in Italy and Europe, that electric vehicles don't get charged meter fees when they park on in council meter parking. They don't get charged. So try and encourage people to make the change over. It's a significant change to change over to an electric vehicle. So if we could do that, we might actually get more take-up of electric vehicles. I'm contemplating myself, but the $75,000 price tag is prohibitive at the moment. But if it became more affordable, people would take it up. Would you accept those amendments?
I think that actually misses the point here. The point here is for council to look at its fleet, and perhaps the officers can give us an indication on how much of our fleet could be replaced by Tesla vehicles.
Amendments proposed by Councillor Macri, which are not being accepted, but which can be moved. Do you want to move those?
Yeah, I'll move those separately.
Could the council officers provide any advice on the size of our fleet?
I'll put that question.
Councillor, I think you've sought an update. We'll provide that information update. I don't have that off the top.
And that's a report coming to council, not a briefing, please. That's the motion. I note the officer's comments, but the motion is a report to council.
Okay. Now, we're just capturing Councillor Macri's amendments. Is there any further discussion while we're waiting? No, we'll just wait. Okay. Councillor Macri's amendments on the screen. The amendments read as follows. One, that council write to the federal government to look at exemption of electric vehicles from the luxury car tax. Two, that council write to the state government proposing a period of 5 years, registration free as an incentive to help people to change over. And three, to consider providing electric vehicles with free parking in metered zones.
For council.
I actually think that's a pretty good idea. Consider it as part of the budget?
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't want to incorporate any of those? Okay, we'll vote on them separately. I'm happy to second them. If there's no further debate on the Macri amendments, I'll put those. All those in favour, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All those against? Councillor De Cruz is against. And I'll now put the primary motion. They're incorporated into the primary motion. I'll now put the primary motion moved by Councillor De Cruz, seconded by myself. All those in favour? Against? Declare that carried unanimously. Next item, Council's electricity and heating costs. Councillor Stamoulos.
Mr Mayor, I was quite shocked when I looked at Council's other expenses report and note 4E of the financial statements, when one particular thing that I noticed is that since the merger, our electricity costs have doubled. And therefore, I saw that as such a concern and something that my fellow councillors would want to know about, that I thought it was worthy of a notice of motion. I see some explanations there. And I thank the officers for their comments. I see some explanations there that get me partially to the point of of understanding some of the dynamics in electricity price charges. But I would be interested to know the volume basis for these, not just the dollar value, but actually the volume base, if there's information on that, to know whether or not we are increasing our electricity usage. So is it a price factor or volume or a little bit of both would be the thing that I'd be interested in there. So it goes partially towards answering some of these things. I noticed that some of the we mentioned some of the changes set in council in prices of council contracts, and I think that's a fair call. But we know from CPI that some of these things go back way beyond that. Some of the peak changes to electricity prices do go back a fair way. So I wondered whether they'd be factored into the same degree in the more recent contracts. So something's going on to drive a lot of these. A lot of these increases. So maybe those things where you talk about the utilities market, the changes to council assets, and whether to sort of in the report that's coming back in, hopefully in the next meeting or maybe even after that, if it's easier for staff, that we just flesh those things out a little bit more. I think that'd be worthwhile, because council, we go out to our community in our media releases, in our quarterly newsletters, constantly saying about the great improvements, the contracts that we have, the investments that we have, the solar uptake, and then you see a number like this and you say, wow, this is really something major, and all of those things that we're doing don't seem to be offsetting. It's still doubled. So that sort of thing, I think, is something that the community would value and understand. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I second it.
Seconded by Councillor Passos. Do you wish to speak to it?
Yes, just to say the officer's comments doesn't really, they sort of contradict each other. We haven't had any pool heating or pool operating down at Ashfield. The only new thing I think we're operating is the library, and that hasn't been operating that long. I just cannot understand this. There has to be a better explanation than what is given in this report for how the cost has blown out. Maybe it's the people we're contracting with, the energy people. We've got changes to council assets, new council facilities opening. Changes to operating hours. Why are we open 24/7, any of our community centres? Is our library opening 24/7? I'm afraid to say this report for such an increase tells us nothing. And council holds medium-term electricity contracts negotiated approximately every 3 years via SSROC. I've raised SSROC up for years. We don't need them. Their negotiating skills do not seem to be working. We are a big enough council to negotiate ourselves, our buying power, whatever. Yes, I even said this in our smaller council. At one time, our depot spent in 1 month about $9 for a tap, and yet we were still paying thousands of dollars to SSROC every year. This is just, we cannot accept this. This motion is very, very important, and it's very serious. We've sat back and we have not known that our electricity's, no alarm bells were ringing, that our electricity charges have risen so much. And as Councillor Stamola said, we're going out telling everybody how green we are. What a fantastic council we are. Well, I'll tell you what, if residents haven't noticed this motion, I'm making sure they do. Because this is not right. We are an absolute joke.
Is there no further discussion? Councillor McKenna.
To understand the officer's comments, one needs to have a little knowledge of the electricity market and how difficult it was in 2018 to get anything like a reasonable price. But since the use of renewables has really taken hold, the prices have again come down. And this is not even about usage. It's about the market and the way that electricity needs to be purchased by businesses. It was in 2018 near impossible to get anything like a price you could get in 2015. Most of the markets had doubled and tripled, and the actual purchasing ability for businesses was such that everybody's rates went up enormously. You might recall seeing farmers on the television complaining about the challenges that they were having paying their electricity bills. It was all to do with the market and the very high rates that electricity prices went to. It's completely different for households. Households have a completely different process, but businesses were required to lock in to the and purchase through what do they call them? The people that actually sell these brokers, so I can't support this motion. There is this inference that something that the council is doing is just plain rubbish. It is about the markets and the way the system is worked, and we are now moving into a period where prices are lower.
Okay, Councillor Hesse.
I'll keep it brief. I think one of the problems we have is that with privatisation of electricity, and some people won't want to hear this, that indeed electricity costs have gone up because the now privatised electricity generation agencies and the companies that run the electricity through their wires, which used to be publicly owned and subsidised, cross-subsidised, are now for-profit, and that means we're all being charged a lot more. It's got nothing to do with the environment. It's all got to do with privatisation. That's our problem. One could suggest that, in fact, taking the long view, that council officers in their public reports probably need to represent that. But I think, ultimately, we are the victim of going to a market economy, as we are all as individuals in our homes, and that's the problem. And I got to say, I look forward to one day when our electricity system returns to public ownership so we can actually make sure that everyone can turn on the light, and that whether we live in our home or we're small businesses, we can actually afford to do what we need to do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. If there's no further discussion, Councillor Macri.
Chair, I think there's a number of factors at play here. I said previously before, I still believe that we're operating out of buildings that we don't need to use. And I think the challenge is, until we get into a state-of-the-art building, we won't be able to address these rising costs. But if we listen to Councillor Hesse, it's the fault of the private sector buying up the power lines. If we listen to Alan Jones, it's the green subsidies for electricity and solar panels. So, I mean, take
I think there are a few sources out there other than those two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I don't oppose receiving a report back. I don't want to put a restrictive time by the second meeting in March. I don't want to restrain staff. It is important to get information. Councillor Stamoulis has asked for the administration to get some information, so I'll support that, but I won't support it if he amends it to when it's able to be brought back in a reasonable time frame. That's all.
Happy to incorporate that?
Yeah, sure.
Well, okay, Councillor Stamoulis, your right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think one thing that, you know, I've heard, whether it be from Councillor McKenna, Councillor Macri, Councillor Hesse, is that all of us have still questions around what's caused this, and we'd like to know more information, especially as we're the council probably in Australia that pushes the issues of renewables, environmentalism, reduction in electricity costs. I mean, councillors may have noticed it if they went to note 4E, not only has our electricity and heating costs doubled, so has our gas costs doubled from 223 to 578 million over that. In fact, that's more than double, isn't it, councillors? So in fact, all of our energy costs are escalating, and I think the price factor is definitely one of those, and a number of you have noted that, and our staff have noted that as well. But what I would like to do by the report is rather than us all taking guesses around the table, let's just flesh it out a little bit more, get some accurate information about a topic, electricity, gas, heating, that is very, very important to what this council is all on about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll put the motion. Seconded by Councillor Passos. Yeah, it's been changed to April. All those in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Next item, Stanmore Ush. Councillor York.
Thank you. I think this is fairly straightforward, but just in terms of, by way of background for councillors who aren't familiar, Inner West Council and prior to that, Marrickville Council ran out-of-hours school care services at both Stanmore Public School and Camdenville Public School, both long-standing services and well-loved, well-respected, high-quality services at both schools. At the beginning of the year, toward the end of last year, a competitive tender was issued for both services. My understanding is that was required by the Department of Education. And council submitted through that process, and we were unsuccessful in regaining those services at both schools. So this is concerning to me for two reasons. One is that the school communities that were very embedded and attached to those services at both Stanmore and Camdenville are disappointed that they won't be still accessing those services, and the educators, the carers that have relationships with those children. And then also I'm concerned that this could be part of a broader pattern that could repeat itself at other schools. And so I'm very keen to ensure, as are parents at these schools, that we learn from the outcome of the tender process and put ourselves as a council in the best possible footing for any future tenders. So essentially, I'm asking tonight that we note that information and that we, through the Mayor, write to the Minister for Education and Early Childhood Learning, seeking some further information about the process and the outcome. And that we also seek a meeting with the network of community activities who have been active on the question of the competitive tender processes of these services. So I hope that councillors will support that motion.
Thank you for that. Councillor Lockie.
Question through the chair. In relation to point three, I'd obviously heard these concerns myself, so had been asking staff about what the implications for council services were on this. I was told that with point three, that council has now already written to the to ask for this debrief and so forth. Has that point been covered? Have we already taken that action?
That's correct, councillor.
Okay. Well, if I can suggest, Councillor York, that just amend that specific point to say that to note that council has now has written to, because it's not an action that needs to take place.
I'm happy for the motion to stay as it is, and I'd be very happy for the Mayor to write to the Minister. It's up to you whether you want to support that or not.
No, of course I will support it, but I'm saying it's happened already. That's already taken place. Look, my family had been a user of this service, and I just want to extend my thanks to the council staff who are active in the, who have been so active in caring for not just my child but many children that have gone through it. It's an excellent service, very high quality. Really, you know, if anything, we found that when we would often go to pick up our daughter from this service, that she would be in the middle of an activity that had been set by the staff, and it would be a struggle to get her to leave. So, I think that's, you know, for any parent who's put their child in childcare, to know that you're your child is not only well cared for but also loves it so much they don't want to leave, I think is always highly commendable.
Does this involve staff losing their jobs? How were these centres resourced?
Councillor, at this stage there's no need for us to make anyone redundant. We'll use the resources in other facilities, but if the trend was to continue, we would have to reconsider that.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to second this motion. My kids also went to Stanmore Ush many years ago, and the council has always provided an excellent service, and it's very disappointing that that the Department of Education has made a different decision, and therefore I think it would be good to follow this up. Thank you.
Councillor Passos.
Through you, Chair, too. Well, there's not many officers left. Has there been an explanation why the government's doing this?
I'll put that question to the Chief Executive.
Not at this stage, Councillor, which is why we're seeking the debrief from the tender process.
Have the government done this in any other areas?
My understanding is that other private providers in other areas have won tenders as against council bodies.
So we don't know why they're doing this. It's not to save money or... And would it reduce, when you have the debriefing, would the question be asked, would it reduce the cost to parents if the government's taking over this? Or as or when council was running the premises? See, there must be a reason in this. We need to know before we... and I find it very strange that we've left it this late to find out why this is happening without asking questions. If it's happened in other areas, we don't seem to be on top of what's going on.
Okay, just a couple of points of clarification. Council officers have raised the concern with the department and sought feedback. Councillor York is tabling a motion that we write to the minister, so escalating the matter politically, which is not the same thing. And the council officers have been raising these issues with the government previously, so this is just the first time it's been considered as a political resolution. Councillor York, Councillor McKenna.
Just quickly, there's certainly been a move for the department to move away from parent-run as well, and that has happened in places like Haberfield just in the last year or so, and certainly they've moved to for-profit providers that the department have organised those contracts.
Could we add an additional point that the outcome of the meeting and the inquiries be reported back to councillors? Because I think we'd like to know on what basis the tender was awarded. So if that could just be added in as an additional point. And look, I guess the other thing that concerns me is the point that this has been awarded to a private provider, and I think Councillor McKenna has indicated that that's in fact a for-profit organisation as well, which is really concerning. I do think that council has a role in defining what type of organisations should be running what are essential essential services within the local community. And I do think myself that services like USH should be run by not-for-profit organisations, not profit organisations. I don't think there should be a profit generated out of these sort of services. Personally, I don't agree with childcare being a profit organisation either, or services for people with disability. But I do think that council can have a position on that and promote that position as well. So while I'm not going to move a motion right now, I think it would be prudent of us to think about what we believe makes a good provider of USH services, and possibly that we do consider putting a statement together as to what we believe is required in terms of ensuring that there is the best provider possible. If it's not council that's providing those services, I mean, rather than just leaving it, because unfortunately, particularly with the government that we have at the moment, it's basically being left to market devices. It's the market forces which is driving these tenders, and the losers, the big losers, are quite likely to be local families who are not going to get the same quality of service that they've had with council. So I do think that we have an advocacy role to play in requiring that we don't allow the rampant